behind the news. Time check. It's 8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
And coming to you live from our national studios here in Accra and networking with all our regional FM stations and across the globe on gbcghana.com, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program where we get to speak to the newsmakers and the experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, Cordell concerned about political activists and biometric registration blues. What are they recommending? Are Fulani herdsmen qualified to register? Why are they being denied the opportunity in some parts of the Upper West region? And what may be wrong with a man who directs a petrol bomb at a group of happy children? We shall have a clinical psychologist's perspective on the issue. It's Behind the News, and as usual, we shall be accepting your comments on 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. You are getting us live. If you are somewhere around calling Kwantania Kufodia, you are on Sunrise FM and on Radio Central together with Twin City Radio and also Radio Savannah. The Coalition of Domestic Election Observers say the biometric voters registration has been successful so far, though it has been fraught with some challenges. In the view of Cordell, the infractions could be attributed to actions of political activists who attempt to bypass laid-down procedures in the registration process. The coordinator of Cordell, John Lavi, have joined us to talk more about the issues as we talk about the biometric voters registration exercise so far. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, you are talking about some infractions caused by political activists. How did you see it, according to your monitoring?
Well, we say infractions. These concern principally the role of the party agents and other political activists in the challenge procedure, saying that certain people are not qualified to register, and therefore, instead of going through the correct process by challenging them, filling a form given by the registration officer and allowing the registration team to continue their work, they rather go and pull these people physically out of the line or harass them, chase them out to go away and all that. And that is completely against the rules of the registration process.
Did you record so many of such incidents during your monitoring?
Well, such incidents will happen in one of some places, but sometimes it is quickly resolved by the registration officer putting down their feet and saying that, look, the process must go on.
Uh-huh.
But in some small areas, especially in the big cities, like we heard in Accra, the Diodo area, where people chased others away because they believed that these other people were not resident in the constituencies where they are registering, and therefore try to challenge people physically, chasing them, and we heard that on the news, we saw it in the newspapers, as well as our observers noticed it. That we decried and said it shouldn't have gone that way at all, because there are rules and regulations governing the process.
Yeah.
You don't need to have blood spills at all in this type of thing, because the rules are enough to keep us at bay doing all these things. We have not finished the process. When it is finished, those who may have done, who may have been challenged for not qualified to register, those issues will be looked at by the District Registration Review Committee.
Yes.
And then, yes, they will pass their judgment as to whether they indeed deserve to be registered and or not.
Yeah. Mr. Lavi, you might have interacted with some party agents at the registration centers. From your interaction, do you think they understand this particular process you are talking about, that go by a particular procedure if you think someone is not qualified?
My brother, look, a lot of them understand. They are even told at the registration centers again and again, they do understand. But they have certain inner feelings. As soon as they see people, then they jump at them. Unfortunately, we do not have any police restraint in many of the places. So when they do it, the registration officers are actually at their mercy. So it goes on like that. The registration officers cannot do much. The people are chased away. If you want to resist them. In some instances, we hear that the kit, the registration kit, can even be stolen and damaged. So the registration officers in the mail just keep quiet, and these things happen, which we decry so much. They know, the parties know. These guys, when they go there, they also know, they have the education, and they're even told there, as I'm saying, that this is how to do it. But sometimes they shout, they make a lot of commotion, but they will not go for the form to fill. They rather want to take things physically.
Yeah. As you mentioned these ones, some are saying that, they are taking a cue from even the advertisement they see on the issue, because on TV, they see someone being physically removed from the queue. So maybe this is what they should do. Have you taken a look at it?
Well, I think that's just an impressionist view of challenging people. But if that means, yes, you see somebody who does not deserve to be registered, fine. But it doesn't therefore follow that you must physically attack the person. It shouldn't. It shouldn't be. Because when you do that under the Public Order Act, you are disturbing public peace. You could be dealt with by the police quickly because you do not know this person. And you are just attacking and holding them and manhandling them. That is bad enough. It's also bad for the registration system itself.
Yeah. Well, we are just about wrapping up the third phase of the exercise. Apart from these activities of party agents, did you see something that maybe should not rear its head during the last phase?
Yeah, I think most of the, we have made a big issue of the failure, the machine, the breakdown of the machine, the malfunction of the machine. It has caused a lot of problem in places. Sometimes the breakdown took a long time to be replaced, and people would go there not getting anybody there, they go home. And it may have affected some people not having the opportunity to register yet. We have only 10 more days. If those people were not registered in the last two, it looks very bleak that they will even go to the next station to register. So that we have recommended the Electoral Commission to do something quickly about. The repair process must be faster. The replacement process must be faster. So that everybody who is qualified to vote should register.
Yeah. Have you tried to engage the political parties since they are being represented at the registration centers?
No, but I couldn't know. But today when we had the press briefing, some political party representatives came from the NPP and from the PNC. And, they made their own contribution, and the PNC, for example, talked about why all of them, the politicians, should understand the process and the procedures, that there was no need to take the law into their own hands and manhandle people. The procedures are there. If you don't understand, just call the Electoral Commission representative in the district or anywhere near you and ask for explanation. And he gave a good example as to how he solved a problem of a friend of his who went to a registration center and there was no registration going on. So he tried to find out and got to know that the registration kit was coming there in the next few days. And that exactly happened, and his friend went and registered. So it was easy. So he was advising all the others that they should do it like that. The MPP person also spoke about it and was saying that where people have rushed to register in the first stage, for example, it will not be appropriate for the Electoral Commission to want to split these registers when election day arrives, that if there are, say, 500 and the station is small, they could split it into two. He was not in agreement with that. But the answer given by the Electoral Commission representative there was quite satisfactory, that if a police station is split, it's not that it is two police stations. It's the same police station A and B or C. So that issue also, I think, has been satisfactorily settled.
So you believe that for now, something positive is coming from your observations and your reports?
Oh, I believe, and I would rather say I hope, that with all the problems, all the trials and the failures and the trials again, would have prepared the stakeholders, the Electoral Commission staff, the political parties, and even the registrants themselves to behave more properly according to the rules. And I expect that the last phase will be smoother, and we will not hear many of these incidents again.
Good.
Especially if the EC also take action to correct the...
Yes. Mr. Lavi, we'll please ask you to hold on the line as we move to the other line. Joining us is Sylvia Anor, Principal Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Commission, as to how they will address some of the concerns you've raised. Good evening, madam, and you are welcome.
Good evening.
I guess you might have had a report earlier.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Lavi.
Yeah, good evening. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you respond to some of the concerns being raised by CODEL?
I cannot give an official response immediately. That would have to come from the commission itself. All I can do is to probably talk about the issues, some of the issues that have emanated.
Yes.
Explain them, you know, further.
We'll be happy to have them.
Yeah. They talked about breakdown of some of the machines, you know. And let me say that this is the very first time that we're doing biometric registration in the country. Now, if you look at the general picture, you know, although it's premature to make any comprehensive analysis, you know, you realize that the kind of problems emanating from the thought are not widespread. You go to some centers and there are virtually no problems. There are virtually no queues. You know, I'm talking about the third phase. You know, people went about the registration, you know, in a cool manner, abiding by the rules and regulations. But you cannot say that for all the centers. At some centers, there are some pockets of, there are some problem prone areas, you know, that had that kind of problem, you know, right from the beginning. And you cannot use that to make generalizations. We are also on the floor, we are monitoring. Now, at the end of the day, we would also give a comprehensive report. And definitely there would have to be some kind of comparative analysis to know what they saw, what we have seen, what others have seen, and then draw a line for future references, and then to improve upon registration. Now, for every registration, for every electoral process, you cannot, it's very difficult to attain 100%, you know, perfection. You may have problems here and there. Now, what are the problems? Some are administrative and things. Now, you need to analyze properly if it's administrative, what caused it. Now, how were we able to solve the problem? You go further. Is it violence related? Have the police performed their rules? What kind of problems emanated from the fraud in terms of violence? How were we able to contain them? How did we go about them for future reference? Now, we need to wait, you know, right now for us, because we are still on the floor, and we are about entering the final lap of the registration. We need to wait for us. But what we can say is that it's been quite smooth, looking at the number involved, looking at the persons involved, 18 years and above, for the whole country. We are talking about 7,000 registration centers.
Uh-huh.
And so many people that you cannot quantify, you know, immediately. So people's actions and inaction, you know, definitely have some kind of effect.
One of the issues that has generated so much heat in the course of it is the issue of a residence, ordinary residence. How do you really define it to the satisfaction of all parties?
We have said time and time again that some of the issues can be interpreted properly by the District Registration Review Committee. Now, we ask for house numbers. You know, why do we ask for a house? Why do we request for house numbers to fill the form? Because we need places of abode. Now, ordinarily residents, the legal people can interpret better. But for us, if you go to the center and you think that somebody is not resident there or not ordinarily resident there, now, what you can do is to challenge the person, not do it physically. you know, the fact that you have an ad on TV, you know, somebody pulling that, it doesn't mean that is what you shouldn't, excuse my language, just look at the
commercial, yes.
Or the pictures and then the actions and then draw your conclusion that no, once you are putting people in, it's just the opposite. Because the advert didn't say that if you see somebody, you know, doing the wrong thing, you know, in your view, you should go and pull that person. That person does not reside in that area. Mm-hmm. There are rules and regulations. There are tenets that we have to abide by. The law is there. The electoral law is there. And therefore, all persons must respect the law.
Yeah.
Now, what we have to do is to make sure that we challenge them. Mm-hmm. There's a form that we have to fill. Now, you need to prove that, yes, Mr. A or Mr. B is not ordinarily resident in that particular area or is not resident there. Now, you do so by appearing before a district registration review committee. And then you put up a case with evidence. Of course, if you challenge 100 people, like I keep on saying, you would have to appear 100 times to defend and then to give evidence against the applicant.
But here is the case where... please let me come in. Here is a case where someone would like to register at a particular place and maybe even vote there because he or she thinks that is where it will be possible to do so when it gets to voting time. Would that person not be allowed if he's still a Ghanaian and qualifies above 18?
That would be for the law to decide. That you live in an area. You know, ordinarily, you need to register in the area where you live or ordinarily live, you know, ordinarily resident, you know. It's quite dicey. That's the reason I don't want to get into that arena so much. But what I mean to say is that if you want to register in an area, you know, and then somebody has a problem with you registering in that particular area, all that the person can do is to challenge you. And then later on at the district registration review committee, we're all going for the proper interpretation.
Okay. We understand. Right from the beginning, we spoke about this issue of prisoners registering. And for now, we understand there is a challenge as to how they can do it. What challenge are you experiencing with their registration?
The last time I checked with the member of the committee, the problem was that most of the prisoners, you know, come in with... for example, Lalea, you know, they have nicknames, you know, they come with nicknames and stuff. So it's very difficult, you know, to get their their proper names for some of them. It's not everybody, you know, it's not all the prisoners. I'm not referring to all the prisoners there, but so they cannot make it omnibus, you know, such that everybody once you are 18 years and above, and of sound mind, you could register. No, they need to properly identify the prisoner. So the last time I said that was the issue at hand. I need to verify again before I can give you the actual fact in terms of how far they have gone.
Before we let you go, generally by your assessment and the way people have been responding to some of the issues, do you think the education was enough for them, or maybe we could have done much more before now?
I would say that, you know, that the education has gone down well. I'm talking generally. You know, if you look at the number of people who have registered, that should give you a clear signal that people know about the biometric registration. Now, there's a difference between somebody knowing the law and then going contrary to it, you know, and then somebody being ignorant of the law of an issue or of an issue. Now, we all know that there's biometric registration. We all know that we are supposed to register people from such a time to such a time. You know, the officials will be in a certain area for 10 days. They will move. We have said time and time again. Now, for some people who go contrary to the law, it's not that they don't have an idea about what the law says or they are not educated. Some are deliberate.
What will the EC do about all those who are deliberately doing things they shouldn't do?
That's the reason we have the police, you know, the legal entity, to take care of those people who go contrary to the law.
Mm.
We play our part, you know, administratively, by doing what we have to do. Now, it's a collective responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
All stakeholders have a responsibility. You know, we have to come together and make sure that we play our roles effectively. For the political parties, they have their role to play. They need to play it effectively. For all other stakeholders, those who are qualified to register and vote, they also have their roles to play.
Okay.
Now, how do we all play our role? How do we play our role? Do we play them effectively because it's a collective thing? Or we relax and then put all the blame on the electoral commission if there is a problem?
Yeah. Please hold on. You're asking a few questions. Let me see the organization that has been working and also monitoring to see how they can help with that process. So we'll get back to you soon. Mr. Lavi, you've heard some of the explanations from Mrs. Anno. In this case...
Kinsley, let me correct an impression quickly.
Yes.
The Kodeo is not condemning or criticizing unduly the Electoral Commission. Our mission at Kodeo is to assist the process, look at the process independently, see what the difficulties are, and then give advice. The advice could be taken or not. We were saying generally that the 2 weeks or the two stages of registration we had watched were relatively very successful.
Yeah.
However, there are a few small pockets of problems here and there, and it is our responsibility to let the Electoral Commission know that these few pockets could be straightened, these few problems could be solved, and if they are solved, then we could be going to even near perfection of the whole process. So the problem of breakdown of the equipment can be resolved. It didn't happen in all the stations. It happened in a few stations. And reasons were given as to why some of these things happened. For example, in the north, because of the heat, some of the fingerprint machines could not work in the afternoon. They would work in the morning. So they did the work in the morning, and in the afternoon they would close. We heard about this. The computer, sometimes it will just freeze up. These things were happening. Not in all places. In a few places. But these are of concern to all of us. What should even happen in a few places? Those places, there are people who need to be registered. So if there are problems, the problem should be solved so that everybody is registered. Nobody will complain tomorrow that the Electoral Commission or the Ghana system is not registered.
Okay. So for now, what are you going to do to assist that process?
Well, what we are going to do, we have done, first of all, is to give recommendations as to what we think must be done.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we will continue to observe. We have our observers at the selected polling stations.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to send us a report every day, every week. And we are going to look at it, whether what we have seen in the first two stages,
mm-hmm.
there have been an improvement. And
okay.
If that is so, we will report. If that is not so, too, we will report and advise.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. John Lavi, we want to thank you very much for your time tonight. But yes, Sylvia, you want to quickly come in?
Yes. I wasn't referring to Kodeo. They haven't condemned the Electoral Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lavi, you know, what I heard from him, that he was trying to, you know, point out some of the problems,
mm-hmm.
you know, emanating from that. Very normal,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, the assessment personally was perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's good. We'll please ask you to hold on quickly because there is another development in relation to the registration exercise, and I will get back to you quickly on the issues. But some of the tests we have here, maybe you can respond to some of them. This one from Akoto Razak from Tamale is saying the biometric registration has been successful. Ghanaians should come out in their numbers to register for the final phase, I think. And Nasir Hassan, Jaskai, why should the biometric registration exercise be given to salary earners while SHS graduates roam about in search of jobs? And some of the registration officials are forcing minors to register. Eric is saying so from the Volta region. And how many people engaged in multiple registration? If you can respond to this, that is if you have the figures immediately.
Thank you very much. Yeah, all these are well taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have an exercise, definitely it's not going to be perfect. There are going to be problems here and there. But it depends on the magnitude of the problems. And that is the kind of yardstick you use to measure whether something is successful or not. And I'm very happy that so far it's been quite wonderful. You know, looking at the fact that this is the very first time we're having biometric registration. Now, definitely there are problems. Our people are on the ground, and they were moving quickly to solve them so that we will not be disenfranchised.
We'll come to the issue of multiple registrations, but please hold on. The mention of Fulanis quickly brings to mind pastoral farmers and their cattle, as well as the destruction of farms. However, on some occasions, they are wrongly tagged as non-Ghanaians from the Sahelian regions. Well, the Fulanis are once again in the news, this time not in relation to their cattle or any destruction. Some of them are being prevented from registering in the ongoing biometric voter registration exercise. And according to available reports from some parts of the Upper West region, even when they show proof as Ghanaians, these herdsmen find it difficult to go through the process. We have joining us now on the line our Upper West regional correspondent, Swala Abdulwahab, who has been touring some parts of the Upper West region to tell us more as to what is happening. Swala, you are welcome.
Thank you.
You've been going around. What exactly have you seen in relation to these Fulani herdsmen?
Firstly, in the Upper West region here, the exercise is progressing very well. And today, the third phase has come to an end. But I happen to travel to two communities in the Sitala West today. And the communities are Sorvele and Bisi. We went there to interact with some of the residents, especially Fulani, who reside in these two communities. I went there with a program coordinator of YARU, which is a youth for youth advocacy in reproductive and opportunity. Rights and opportunity. And during the course of our interaction with this Fulani, in fact, they expressed a lot of concern about this ongoing biometric registration. Many of them said that when they go to the registration center to register, some of them are questioned of their nationality. If they are able to produce either a birth certificate or the old voter ID card, sometimes they turn them away. Other times, they won't even ask them of whether they have a death cert or any other document to prove that indeed they are Ghanaian. All that they do is that they tell them that they are Fulani and therefore they are not supposed to take part in their ongoing biometric voter registration exercise. And they're saying that some of them have stayed in the area for more than 25 or even 30 years.
Were they voting in previous exercises?
Yes, they claim that they voted because if they did not take part, they wouldn't have the old ID card, which is being phased out now.
Yeah.
So some of them actually showed us. They showed us their old ID card. I saw it myself.
Yeah. So what are they doing about it now?
Because of that, they have been turned away.
What are they doing about it now? Have they decided to stay away from the registration centers?
They themselves were asking is, if they are being told now that they shouldn't register in this biometric registration exercise, what then are they supposed to do? Some of them say that if they ask them to leave where they are now, they don't have a place to go because they have taken Ghana as their motherland. And if they are now being told that they cannot take part in national exercise, they don't know what to do. So they were appealing to government and people who matter to intervene so that at least they'll be able to register and exercise their franchise.
Okay. Swala, we want to thank you very much for giving us this particular update. That is our Upper West regional correspondent, Swala Abdulwahab. But Sylvia, coming back to you, this is the challenge, confronting a group of people. In that case, how do you address it?
Thank issue. The question of nationality is quite dicey, you know. You can't just talk about it, you know, ordinarily. It has to be interpreted properly. Now, I may travel from Ghana to Nigeria and work there. You know, if there's an election, I may not be in the position to register because I'm not a Nigerian. You know, the fact that I'm there doesn't make me. The law of the land, you know, irrespective of where you come from, can determine whether you qualify to register or not. It says that you have to be a Ghanaian citizen of 18 years and above and of sound mind. You know, so you're not a Ghanaian. The fact that you live in Ghana does not qualify you to be a Ghanaian. You know, the law is there, and we need to look at the law for proper interpretation before we are given the opportunity to register. Now, if you insist that you are not a Ghanaian and you register, you may be challenged, and the district registration review committee would have to take it up. So we need to be careful.
In this case, when they are given some evidence that shows that they are Ghanaians or they may be Ghanaians, we are using it advisedly, what should they do now? What are the officials supposed to do for them?
If they think that looking at the law, they are Ghanaians, then of course they can register. If they think that they are Ghanaians, and therefore if they are challenged, they can prove it, you know, vis-a-vis the law that they are Ghanaians, then they can register.
Here's the case where people have been physically prevented.
No, we have said it time and time again. Now, this boils down to the question of the education that we were talking about.
Good.
Now, the fact that people know that they do not have to physically prevent people from registering, yet some indulge in that kind of act. And we have said time and time again that the law frowns on it. What you can do is to make sure that you pick up the challenge for the feelings and then appear before the registration review committee to give evidence against
We want to thank you very much. But just before you go, one dropped in asking about payment to those who are conducting the exercise. Some are already threatening to even withhold their services. Did you settle on that before the exercise started?
No, you're dealing with a large number of people, you know, big range of backgrounds. Now, we need to be careful. We are about entering the final lap. We have publicized the figures involved, although there were problems with, I think, one paper or so, you know, with the figures. We have explained it to the officials that they should exercise some kind of restraint. Definitely, all issues relating to financial settlements will be dealt with accordingly.
At the end of the exercise or in between?
I think by the end, some have been given advance some, you know, by the end of the day, irrespective of whether they have given some or not, they would be giving their money.
Thank you very much, but please hold on and speak to a member of our production team on the line. It's still Behind the News, coming to you live from Radio Ghana, and you are getting us on Garden City Radio and also across the globe on gbcghana.com. Akoto Razak, I think we've looked at your issue already. And this one from Sam Afaris. Let's be mindful about our future as youth of this country and guard against politicians using us as tools of anarchy in pursuit of their political agenda. Let's be wise. That is from Salman Faris. And alas, and Zandili Ilwa, I plead with the EC to fix the challenges that confronted them in the registration so that the NDC can concede. Okay, when Nanado is declared winner, that is, you are going way ahead. That one is a December exercise. And Andrew Manga is saying the electorate should support their candidates only through the power of their thumb and not through any violent means. Ghana needs peace. Behind the News, so going to the line, it's the political parties that have been raising concerns through their agents. Isahak Audulai is the PNC regional secretary. I want to ask him what he thinks about what is happening so far in the prevention of some people from registering. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Yes. Have you heard about some people not being allowed to register just because you are doubting whether they are Ghanaians or not?
Of course, there have been incidents of that nature across the country.
across the country, talking directly about issues in the Upper West region?
Well, I, coming from the PNC as a political party, we have not been well resourced enough to have our party agents across all the registration centers in the region. But we've been able to get our acts together, and we have some registration. We have our agents in a few of the registration centers spread across the region. And the kind of information we have gathered over the period of the registration indeed indicates that there have been incidents of challenges in as far as the eligibility of people in the voter registration exercise is concerned. And specific incidents have come up. But the most important thing that people ought to understand is with regards to the fact that most of these challenges are coming from the two main endowed parties, talking about the NDC and the NPP. And we as a political party has always advised that in as far as the voter registration exercise is concerned, there are clearly stipulated laws and regulations regarding how challenging the eligibility of a prospective voter in the voting registration exercise is concerned. But judging from where we come from as a people, with regards to the institutional mechanisms and structures that we have, some people think that they ought to take the law into their own hands, and they do not want to go through the mandated line of challenge.
Yeah.
That is the reason for which you come across some of these challenges and the sporadic violence.
So you believe none of your agents will physically restrain someone from registering? That is what you've passed on to them?
Come again.
I'm asking that you've told all your agents not to restrain anyone at all physically. Have you?
Of course. Our agents, we have spoken to all of them. They are aware of the process they have to go through if it comes up to challenging someone's registration.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a system whereby the voter, the political parties and the agents for that matter, have not been able to get to have enough confidence and trust in the institutions that are mandated to ensure that we have a smooth registration. You talk about the Electoral Commission as a party, and you even talk about the security arrangements that are supposed to be put in place first and foremost to ensure that people do not even get the opportunity to go to these registration centers and visit mayhem and vandalism on either prospective voters or on registration officers.
Yeah.
But as we speak now, you are aware that the Electoral Commission, officially or formally, has not been able to station security officers at all the registration centers. The Electoral Commission only put security officers at registration centers when they think that it's a kind of waterloo in as far as the security of the registration officers and prospective voters are concerned. We would have been looking at a situation where right from the onset of the voter registration exercise, the Electoral Commission should have been able to understand that indeed some of these things were going to crop up, and they should have from the onset ensured that they have security personnel at all these registration centers, so that we do not even have the issue of people having to go and engage in physical scuffles, even when they just want to challenge the registration of others.
I guess the point is very well made here. We want to thank you very much for your time. Isahak Abdullahi is the PNC Regional Secretary talking about Upper West, and you are live on Radio Upper West, is Behind the News, and talking about the Champions League. For those who are interested, it's 2-2, that is in the case of Barcelona and Chelsea, so that is for your information. Eric Dakura is the NDC Regional Secretary for Upper West. He's also joined us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bright, and good evening to all your cherished listeners.
Yes. Have you decided as a party not to allow herdsmen to register because you doubt their nationality?
Thank you. The NDC, as a political party in the Upper West region, we had a training program for all our agents and other officers who we have tasked to do monitoring in the region. And the agents are properly trained, and they know what is expected of them in the respective registration centers. So as to whether somebody's eligibility is challenged, what our agents are asked to do is to simply pick a challenge form, and complete it. So on the part of NDC, there is no any violence or physical violence exhibited in any registration center. Once they doubt the eligibility of an applicant. They just take the challenge form and they complete it.
So you don't have anyone specifically being told that don't allow Fulani herdsmen to register?
No.
But, some of the concerns have been raised that you always need to go through the processes, pick a challenge form, and then fill it. Do you have some of your people picking it now?
Yes, I can attest to the fact that yes, there are instances where some other agent at the respective registration centers, when they doubt the eligibility of an applicant, we just ask them to pick the challenge form and fill it. And I know we have recorded one or two incidences where they have filled such challenge forms.
So you believe that it is not coming from your end, that is those preventing the others from registering?
No, it's not coming from our end.
I'll ask you to hold on in a moment as we go to the regional organizer of the NPP in the Upper West, Abraham Mbapala.
Okay.
Hello, Abraham.
Hello.
Yes. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Yes. Have you also agreed to allow the normal process to go on so that even when you have a concern, you can address it through the appropriate channels? That
yes,
is talking about Upper West.
Yes, Kingsley. Good evening to your good listeners. You know, MPP will be the last to prevent somebody from registering. For example, Ododo is an example area that we
this time we are talking specifically about the Upper West, since we have the challenge there, yes.
Preventing any other person from registering.
Mm-hmm. So, have you heard about the case that some of the Fulani herdsmen are not being allowed to register?
Yes, we also heard so, but it's not coming from NPP. That is preventing Fulani from registering. We know we have to go through the due process if we suspect that some other person is an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And we know by the definition who is an alien. Even if he hasn't got all the identification cards,
but
can be identified by two or three people from the community or the polling station, we have no problem after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So collectively, I've spoken to Isahak, your colleague Eric Dakura, who has spoken on the issue, and you are also talking. How are you coming together to ensure, at least for the Upper West region, apart from this incident, we've been told that you've generally had a smooth operation. How do you come together to ensure that you sustain this momentum?
Oh, our agents are properly trained and they know what to do when they are at the polling stations. And I believe strongly that they are doing just what we have told them to do. And I know for sure that they will not prevent any legitimate voter who is at the polling station to apply to be registered. For that one, I know.
Yeah.
The way forward is that if we all come together and will rely on the roadmap that EC have drawn as to how to challenge when we have doubts as to minors and aliens, if we all agree and allow the normal process to go on like NPP believe in the rule of law, I believe strongly that most of these things will be eliminated.
Thank you very much, Abraham Mbapala. And Eric, I guess you are also going to work together like that to sustain that level of cooperation so far, as we are being told from the various parties in Upper West.
Yes, let me indicate that on the part of NDC, we are ahead by training prompters who are moving from section to section, house to house, and all the registration centers. They go from the houses, inform them, persuade them to go and register. Because it's just only registration we are doing. We are not doing voting. And when somebody is persuaded to go and vote, then to go and register, when it is time for you to vote, then you can have the power to go and exercise your franchise for a particular political party who you know, based on their track record, they can deliver you. And because of the role the prompters are playing, I can assure you that in the Upper West region, the figures that all the registration centers, the figures that they have gotten so far, when we compare it to the previous registration figures, it's impressive. You can just see clearly that there's a massive improvement over the numbers of voters who of registration people who have registered previously in the registration centers.
Well, thank you so much, Eric Dakura, for talking to us tonight.
You're welcome.
Behind the news, you are getting us live on Radio BAR and also on Volta Star Radio. Some of your tests here. This one is saying the fisherman, Kwabena Amachi, went to the extreme. He should be dealt with if found guilty. I wish the surviving children speedy recovery. That is coming from Gabriel N. O. Budai Ashon of GIG. And this one is saying the EC should clean its house very well before the last phase starts. Shortage of registration forms and breakdown of machines should be addressed to ease the political tension that has characterized the exercise. That is from Malik Bwipe. And Dennis from Navrungo, Fulanis are not Ghanaians, hence should not be allowed to register, else we'll have Fulani MPs. They are not Ghanaians. Well, sometimes from experience, some have been described as Fulanis just because they are headsmen and not really Fulanis. Behind the news, we'll be back to examine exactly what happens to a man, or what is happening to a man who will throw a petrol bomb into the midst of very happy children. But talking about the biometric issues, we still have a representative of the CPP to look at how best they are also promoting the peace in the next phase. That is Mohammed Ndibisi, CPP Regional Chairman. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, my brother.
Yes, we're asking that question. Many people want to know why some Fulanis or supposed Fulanis have been prevented from registering, and we have been told they are herdsmen.
That is not true.
Mm-hmm.
The Fulani herdsmen or Fulanis have not been prevented from registering. They have registered simply because some of us proposed executives of other political parties have said that those people or those Fulani headmen are their people, or they have brought them, they have been there for 20, 30 years, or their fathers give birth to them there. And so they are natives or whatever they say. And you know, it's not an easy thing, go tell the Fulani headman or whatever, somebody Fulani, to say that he's not a Ghanaian.
Mm-hmm.
You must at least be able to challenge him in the law court that he's not a Ghanaian before you can do this thing.
So you believe that all your agents understand the process very well?
Yes, they understand the process very well.
You don't have anyone preventing another person from doing so fiscally?
No. They have not prevented anybody from registering as far as my region, of course, my constituency is concerned. I hail from the Sosala West, where these stories are coming from. And I'm telling you that it is not true that they have prevented somebody from registering. If they want to do that, or if somebody wants to do that, then he must challenge the Fulani headman or anybody who he thinks that is not a Ghanaian in the law court, and that will the EC will know what to do about the person. But for now, all those stories you have heard about people not registering or supposedly to Fulani headman not registering, it is untrue.
Mohammed Ndibisi, I guess your point is very well made, and we want to thank you very much for your time too.
Yeah, thank you very much, my brother.
That is the CPP Regional Chairman. Behind the news, you are getting us live on Ubuntu 96.5, Tema here, and Unique 95.7. We are taking a quick break, and when we come, that issue about the man throwing a petrol bomb. Behind the news, you are getting us live from Accra. And just before we move to that issue, that is the psychological perspective of a person who decides to do the wrong, we have Yusif Canton, who belongs to the Youth Advocacy Rights and Opportunities Group. They have been working with challenged people and those who are finding a bit of a problem in going about the registration exercise. is the program's coordinator of the group, that is Yusuf Kanton, joining us on the line now. Yusuf, you are welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, we just heard the CPP regional chairman talk about the fact that, to him, there's not been any prevention. But you are also saying you've identified some areas where some of the people are being prevented from registering. What are you doing about the situation?
Well, I've heard all the discussion, and I think that for us, we have moved a step forward in bringing this issue for public discussion. But here, beginning from where the CPP chairman, I don't want to take this into a debate. But today we had a demo of groups of people we refer to as marginalized and deprived groups of people, for which we classify the Fulani to be among them. And we have a demo at a village in the Sisala West called Sobele, and we have close to 50 Fulanis and their wives from various communities who attended the program. Basically, the essence was to give them some basic education on their civic and political rights, and also to educate them on the biometric voter registration process, who qualifies to register, and what the processes are, and just to find out how it is going with them. In fact, to our surprise, about 55 people in the DEBA, only two could show that they were able to register. One of them, indeed, from Sobele, said she could not register there because she was resisted on several times, even though he had every proof that he is eligible to register. He was denied. And he had to do that in a neighboring village in Jaria. Another said, yes, he had to contest that. In fact, he could mention his great-grandparents in that village. He was born there. He speaks the language, so he does not understand why he must be denied the right to register. He was given the chance. So two out of about 55 people, clearly you see that there is a problem. A lot more of them had previously registered right from the 2000 election. They voted, a good number of them voted, even in the 1996 election. So clearly you see that these people indeed have a case. And for us, our issue is not to say A is a Ghanaian and B is not. What we just want to put on record is that Fulanis are nomads, and they are littered across the entire West African region. In every country in West Africa, there are Fulanis. And indeed, they constitute mostly the minority groups in most of these countries, except in Guinea, where they constitute a significant population. Now, if these are nomads, and they have been with us even before independence, I do not see any reason why somebody who, at the time Ghana became Ghana, could now be said not to have been a Ghanaian simply because he is seen to be a Fulani or belongs to a nomadic tribe that we now think that, oh, by virtue of the fact that you are of tribe A, then you should not be a Ghanaian. That is the issue for us. We think it is unfair.
So, I'm asking, have you made representation to the appropriate authorities there, especially as they raise the concerns?
Yes, these issues, in fact, are not just of the Sisala West. Our checks even reveal that it is an issue that is happening in the entire northern Ghana. Last week, we had a meeting in Tamale where I brought this issue up. And colleagues working on similar issues identified that right from Bole, Sola, across the entire northern region, in most of the districts, Fulanis have been seriously seen to be or perceived to be alien, and therefore, once you beg, you are perceived to be alien from the tribe Fulani. Automatically, you are perceived to be an alien, and therefore, you don't have a right to register. I think these issues have been discussed at various levels, but the issue really is that some political parties really do not think and still perceive that Fulanis are aliens.
Yeah.
And are simply defying the laid down procedures.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you raise these ones, we know Sylvian also mentioned that some may be legal. So we'll try to get the other legal brains on the issue, and then we'll pick it up further. But for now, I want to thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yusuf Kanton is the program's coordinator of the Youth Advocacy Rights and Opportunities. You are still on Behind the News as we try to get through on the line to the other resource person who will be telling us much more about the other concerns being shared on the sociological front, talking about a person who can do damage to children who are playing. Behind the News. What could prompt a father of four to throw a petrol bomb at children playing behind his house? His intention was to drive them away to enable him to have sound sleep. Could it be excessive anger, a psychological or psychiatric problem? Perhaps 40-year-old fisherman Kwabinamachi of Apese Muri in the central region would be the right person to justify his action, which led to the death of one child. Four others were severely injured, with one escaping unhurt. We have a clinical psychologist, Emmanuel Asampon, on the line to help us look at what happened or what could have happened. You are welcome, sir, to Behind the News.
My pleasure.
Some are trying to explain the issue within the realm of a psychiatric or even a psychological problem. How do you try to explain it from your perspective?
Well, I would want to take it from two angles. First of all, on the side of the children. Now, what we need to understand and appreciate is the fact there is this self-centeredness about children. That is to say that there is a tendency for them to about themselves and no other person. So, for example, if you ask them that, well, this is what is happening to me, and so I wouldn't want you to disturb or to do this A or B, it is the very thing you've asked them not to do that they are going to do, because for them, what you said really doesn't concern them. And all over, that is tendency about children. And that's why we say children by nature are self-centered. So anytime they put up certain behaviors, because we as adults have been through that, we appreciate and therefore let them go. Then on the side of this man, I would want to look at it from the angle of some extreme anger, because we don't have any history of a previous similar behaviors or similar things that he has done, for which reason we would say that, well, then that is the way he is. But for me, I am simply looking at it from the angle that he got extremely angry. And like we know, any time a person is angry, the reason is actually gotten rid of. That this person who is so angry wouldn't have the time and the luxury to use reason in doing anything. And therefore, such a person is overtaken by the anger and would do anything. I mean, things and not think about. But then afterwards, when the anger is subsided, then this person would now have the opportunity to use reason. And then usually what we hear is that, I know I haven't done well. How would you do well? It is because this time around, reason will be prevailing. And that's how, for me, I am of opinion that there's the need for people to be able to manage their anger. I mean, that is not to say that as individuals or as human beings we do. That makes us normal human beings. Mm-hmm. The thing is that we need to manage it in such a way that it will not, the level of the anger mm-hmm. will not overpower whatever that we.
Yeah.
And once we do that, I believe that there's anger will come from time to time, but point in time at all, we would be in effective control.
Yeah, so you cannot say it's just a psychological or a psychiatric, but just being annoyed to the extreme.
Well, the thing too is that in that state of anger, of course, this person wouldn't behave in the normal way. So mm-hmm. at that material moment, we would say that, yes, there is some a disorder there. But then, of course, like we all know, from time to time, we find ourselves in one extreme place or the other. You know, so at any point in time, there is something that is happening. But we try as humans
mm-hmm.
to come to that normal line so that nobody would say that, yes, this is what is happening. So at that material moment, of all wasn't well with this man. And that's how come he could do what he did.
Okay. Mr. Manuel Asampum, we'll get to these issues and even explore further the issues of aggression and what people are being exposed to nowadays to see exactly how people can continue to manage such anger when need be. We want to thank you very much for your time. That's a clinical psychologist trying to explain exactly what happens with people who get extremely annoyed. Behind the News, that is where we have to get to. We want to thank So Magisi Bloom, who sat at the controls for us, Christopher Steed, who's right, Agama, Agatha, Asamoah, and Phyllis Kofi were members of our production team. My name is Kingsley Obinchere, and coming up, if you are listening to Unique Asasawa, Thank you very much for listening to us.